Thank you, Brother Tommy. Have your Bibles taken, open up to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Always reminded when I hear that song of the last verse. You know, we serve a God that nothing is impossible for. And you look at when He called all the animals to come to Noah and enter the ark. For the time that they were on there is when the lamb and the lion laid down together. And there wasn't any conflict upon there. So, again, God can change all things. He is the God of all possibilities. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. This morning several times it's talked about, different folks in here have mentioned about the paths or you're taking steps. And as you said a while ago, you know, you can't walk on water if you don't take that first step. And we understand that even as the Lord invited His disciple to step out of the boat and to walk, as He walked through there, then he caught wind of how all of the sea was raging and the waves were lapping and the wind was up. But he was still walking on water till he took his eyes off of the Lord. And that's when he began to sink. And so this morning, the title of the message is Following His Steps. You know, peace in the valley, we have that day coming that all of us, all will enjoy peace. Even our surroundings will be peaceful in God's home, and we're assured of knowing Jesus Christ, that's where we'll spend eternity. But we have that same peace through Jesus Christ even here, within, even though the storms are raging around us. And many of you are going through a lot of different things, and as we started this year, we said there'll be happy times, there will be rough times. We can't forecast or see anything that's there, but He does. And He promises never to leave you or I at all. And here, as Solomon is inspired by the Lord with the wisdom that He gave him to write these words, I invite you to stand the honoring of God's Word for a moment. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. Proverbs 16 and 9. Not a lengthy read this morning at all, but all of you need to get up and stretch your legs anyway. Make sure some of you still awake back there. Y'all don't want me throwing rocks. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I need you to ponder that a moment. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You may be seated. Told you it was a short read. Y'all didn't believe me, did you? Oh, ye of little faith, right off the bat. I appreciate one of the things I was given as a birthday present from one of our astute members. Give me a ball cap, says, warning. Pastor, anything you say can and that you say or do may be used in a sermon. I'd never call Robin out. Think about that verse for a minute. And it's true of all of us. You know, each day comes along, or a new week, or a new year, we make our plans. We plan on what we think is going to take place and what we hope to do, what we hope to follow with. And then things happen. Life comes along. We call it that. Life comes along and changes things. Solomon says here, man makes his plans from his heart. It's what we desire. He said, but the Lord is the one that directs his steps. It was never my intent to be a preacher, I promise you that. I'd have never conceived that. Many of you have been in the same vein. Where you're at in life now is not what you planned or what you thought were going to take place, or during your lifetime, there's been events that you would have never foresaw. Mike made a statement a while ago. He said, yet in time we see things. There's those events that what we wanted, what we thought would be the best spouse or the best job or no matter what it is, and it was denied, but yet down the road, I look back and I say, man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, you did not let me go down the path I was going. You changed the direction. Now, sometimes those of us, I won't say those of us, those of you who are tender and willing to His leading, you change those steps easy. Others of us are hard-headed. And it takes a harsh deal to come along that God can't just woo us into where He wants us to go into His steps, but He has to do something to alter it, to totally change it. But yet His steps that He directs us, we suddenly come to the stage after we follow those and we look back with that hindsight and we suddenly see that that was the best thing that could have ever happened. Totally. We didn't understand it at the time. And there's some things that still are in play that you and I still don't see the reason behind it. God tells us up front in Jeremiah that His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts. But His is always towards perfection and is always looking after what is best for us. As Paul tells us in Romans, he said, all things. Even when you hit that old thumb with that hammer, all things are to the good and to the glory of God. I even monumentally remember the first time I hit that thumb with that hammer, and I didn't let an explicit word come out of my yak. I thought it. I said, well, Lord, it's progress. That's all I can say. It didn't come out. We take those little steps, and that is His way. You know, when we talk about, Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 8, He says, if you want to come and follow me, each person has to take up their cross and bear it. We don't always understand it. If you go over into Mark 10, in there in 38, where they continue forward this dialogue for these two chapters, He says, so none of you realize that you can, I'm going to paraphrase it, He says, but none of you realize you think you can drink of the cup that I drink, but you have no idea. And that is true. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ with the salvation, oftentimes many folks have the idea that, well, I'm going to secure up my eternity. God called me, and we come to that point, we realize we need a Savior, and we think that I can go ahead and do this and secure my whole, when we come to salvation, we say, I surrender it all. I give it all to Him. But we think we can secure our salvation, but then we can still go about our way. What we just read in Proverbs. We let our heart make our plans, and yet Lord says, no. You're mine. And I'm going to direct you in my steps and where I go. So this morning, a couple of things. What are His steps for each of us as individual? When we talk, Jesus talks about taking up our cross and bearing it. It's individual for each of us. Just as the talents, the gifts that He has given to us, all are individuals. The circles that we run in, we don't all run in the same circles. But yet it all works, just like our body. All of those things come together, just like the members of this church, in order for it to be a functioning body. And we have a lot of different ministries with a lot of different people doing a lot of things, but yet all of those are targeted towards, or at least that's our purpose, is to target it towards where God is leading us as a church, as individuals, collectively to forward His ministry. There's a lot of different ministries within this church that if you're not aware of all that's going on that takes place, and you see the different specialties that each one has that they can minister through what they're doing. We clean highways. We have the ladies' ministry. We have the blood drives. We have the Bibles that go out. We have take care of food. The prayer warriors of this church. We get requests for prayer from all over that have no affiliation with us other than we know you're a praying church. Could you pray for this situation or this individual? That is a testament that you're known as a praying church. The requests for Bibles that go all over the world. One day in heaven, I assure you, we're going to meet some folks that say, you've never met me, but you sent me a Bible and I read it and I come to know Jesus. I'm here because of what you did. All of those things work together. And so what the Lord shows us, and Jesus gave us this firm example of His steps. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, hear the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 10 here. He gives us an example of exactly, we know this is a model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, but He gives us how His steps operate. Number one, in verse 9, when He tells them, He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember what we just read over in Proverbs. That means we have to yield our desires, our wants. There's nothing wrong with coming and praying to the Lord about what we have concerns with, our prayer request, and Lord, we'd really like to see this healing take place, or would really like to have that job. But notice what it says at the beginning. It says, your will be done. He's in control. And I'll be honest, that's hard for us. It's hard for me. I'll put it on a personal level. You know, I know Mike just got Tyler his driver's license. I'm not willing to go ride with Tyler yet.
Oh, come on.
You know, Jacob over here has had driver's license for a good while, and I taught him. But he'll be the first one to tell you, when we get in the truck, Daddy's still driving. And when I do drive, I let him drive, I have to sit on me not to say, now, boy, don't you think you ought to slow down? You're getting a little closer. You want to hit the brake, but, you know. Y'all all remember the old trucker song. Says, you want to back off of them chickens a little bit? Sometimes I have to remind Junior to back off the chickens a little bit. Because we all know what the chicken's fixing to do, right? But it's not about our will. And we wrap ourselves sometimes in that we bring our concern and prayer to the Lord, our request. And He tells us not to worry. He says, why do you worry? And He tells us that in Matthew. Jesus again talks about it. He says, the lilies don't worry about it. The sparrows don't worry about it. Why are you so concerned? And when you stop and think about that, you know what? There's not a single thing we can change without Him doing it. John chapter 1 tells us that without Him, nothing would exist. He was there from the beginning. He'll be all the way to there to the end for all of eternity. All that was created by Him, and without Him, nothing would be created. See, the problem with the I, where sin really comes in, you know, you spell that S-I-N, that I is always capitalized. It's what I think. And that's exactly what Lucifer kicked out of heaven, was pride. And we have that pride because we have sin. We want to do it my way, not God's way. Well, I make my plans, but yet He directs the steps. One thing I have learned, if I will willingly accept His steps, it's so much better. It's so much easier. There is no redo. There is no train wreck at the end of it. And most of all, I'm blessed out of it. He gets the glory. But man, I can't believe the blessing he gives me from it. Just by being obedient. And so in our prayers, when we pray, Lord, whatever we're asking, I encourage you to also remember, Lord, to put it before Him, not our will, but Your will. Let it be Your way. Just like it's all about Him in heaven, let that be the same thing down here, that it's all about Him here. You'll find your life run so much easier. I still boob up and want to do it my way. And each time I hit that roadblock, I remember, Lord, I'm sorry. I took a hold of that steering wheel. I don't need to drive. I need to let You drive. Turn a few chapters over to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Again in 26, our Lord is speaking here in verse 39. Now, we've moved from where He's teaching and all. He is actually praying in the garden. I've dropped you in the middle of this chapter. And He knows what is coming. He's already talked to His disciples, and He said, stay and watch and pray with Me. And He goes on up a little further, and He begins to pray. This will be right before He is arrested. And in 38, He says, then He said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with Me. Notice those words, stay here and watch with Me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. He didn't stop there. He says, nevertheless. He says, on second thought, Lord, I want it to pass from Me, Daddy. But it's not about Me. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. I'm not the driver. Daddy, You are. And you see, that same Daddy that Jesus could pray, knowing what was fixing to take place, to be arrested and the pain He would go through with the scourging and then making His way up to the cross and finally being nailed to that cross and dying. He said, not My will, but Yours. He gave us a model prayer. His ministry brought the gospel to us. But yet His ministry, as He went through, and with all that He explains and teaches to those disciples, it wasn't just the 12 or those that were present when He was physically here, but it's even you and I today. And the Holy Spirit empowered those men, those authors that wrote these books, not of themselves, but of His Word. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all the same. Jesus, as we talked before, was there from the very beginning. He heard when He spoke and He said, this have I heard My Father say. Sure He did, because He was there. When the Father looked out across the heavens and saw that it was void and without, and there was darkness on the face, and He said, let there be light. The Son was right there. The Spirit of God was right there. What we call the Holy Spirit. He literally had heard it and heard it said and saw it as it was created, because the three are one. That's why John can say He created all, and without Him nothing was created. We enjoy the sun. We enjoy light in a building. You think about all the pleasures that we have, even from your generations back. Celeste and I were talking about that the other day, about what our grandparents and our great-grandparents that came over, and many of yours the same way, came and covered wagons. My grandmother talked about, oh, how thrilled we were when they had that first light bulb turned on. Just in one room of the house. The rest of the house still had to have coal oil lanterns. But they were excited. They didn't want to burn it too long because they only had one bulb. I was afraid he'd go out. And that woman who came in a covered wagon to Texas from Mississippi saw Him put a man on the moon. What a generation. My generation was forced to take a computer class that had to walk on a false floor and you wore, you know, and you, out there in Odessa, Texas, it's 110 degrees. People will look at you funny because you went in with a full winter coat to go in there for computer class. And yet what I carry on my hip and this little phone can do more than that computer ever thought about doing. See, we've seen it transition. The disciples saw it transition from not having God present of a Messiah being promised to literally seeing him. They also saw him crucified and put to death, but they saw the resurrection. You and I have the best roadmap for our lives. When we ask where is his steps follow us, he tells us from beginning to end. Everything within this book speaks to you and I about how we live, what we do, decisions that we make. Oftentimes they say the Bible is basic instruction before leaving earth. That's it. I'll go a step first. Not basic instruction before leaving. It's basic instruction to live here on earth. And to be able to do it with peace. No matter what the conflict is. Lord, this is what I see. I pray about it. But it's not my will. It's yours. You know, one of the greatest promises he puts in there, he says, come unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you never even imagined. I've seen those things in my life. I've seen people healed. I've seen a wayward old boy turned around and was blessed enough to be able to preach to you. Wasn't my intent. It's amazing how he can clean up all that mess. Y'all ever walked into you may have kin folks, or maybe it's you. You ever walked into a house where a hoarder lived? Now they make reality shows about it, right? But I thought about that. Well, I'm not a hoarder. I keep certain things, yeah. Spare parts and everything. My wife wanted something done the other day, and she said, well, I guess you have to go buy the parts. Nope. I think I got them. Sure enough, I did the whole thing without it. Other than a little paint. I don't like the paint anyway, so I don't care much about it. But it kind of made me think about that, following his steps. See, we plan ahead I might need, which is good. He gives us, tells us to be good stewards, but we plan out things. I keep those just in case, and then things pop up. And I found myself telling him, well, thank you, Lord. I didn't have time to go to the store anyway. You let me know exactly these things that I kept. I'd accomplished what she wanted done. I never even have to go to the store. His steps guided. Wasn't what I did. His steps. See, that's why Paul can say, in all things, give thanks. Give him the glory. Jesus laid out for you and I through all that he knew from the beginning he was going to go through, yet he could come and he wept over the people that he saw that they didn't understand, but yet constantly it was not his will, but he was following the path and the steps that the Father had laid out. Who gives your life direction? You or him? And I know we boob up. We all mess up. There's times that we say, yeah, I give it to the Lord, and then we have a way of snatching it back. But if we keep our eyes focused, see, that's probably been the biggest learning curve for me to practice every day of, wait a minute, Lord. I know what I thought I was going to do, but let me follow what you want. Let me follow your steps. And it not only comes as an individual life, but it comes within our church life as well. I've told y'all many times, we come together as the elder group, and we may not agree, but we go back and we pray about it and we come back. And you know, we're aligned. And then not only that, we pray that the church, when we have our meetings and the decisions we make will be his will, suddenly the church is aligned. on things that before were a controversy and a big topic, and they come to nothing. You see, what the devil's always looking for in your life and mine and in the church's life is that one time we take our eyes off of him, he has an opportunity to cause chaos rather than peace. So whether you're at home or at work or in your church life, or your job life, whatever it may be, take a moment to reflect on Proverbs 16:9. I make my plans, but do I let him direct my path, my steps? David said it in Psalms. He said, your word is a light and a lamp unto my feet as I go down that path. We all can stumble around in darkness, but if we look, he provides that light. Jesus Christ is that light for you and I. If we suddenly turned out all the lights in here and told you need to leave, some of you'd make it halfway. Some of you might even make it to the door. Some of you have trouble falling over right before you ever stood up. Just the differences in people. But when the light shines, we all can see where we're headed. Following his steps every day brings peace, but it glorifies our Heavenly Father. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. We're done.